Like, it almost seems unreasonable. He won't even be with her, but that's because he knows his weakness and he knows how she's coming after him, and he knows that this is the only way forward, is to not even be around her. So God rewards Joseph's integrity, and he keeps rising there, right? No, one day, she realizes it's just her and just Joseph in the house. And you have to think that Joseph didn't allow this to happen very often, that Joseph kind of worked at not being around her, because she tries to be with her and he's not even with her. But she works it out so that it's just her and Joseph in the house. And she grabs hold of him and says, "Lie with me." And he says, "I gotta go really bad," and runs away. Runs out of the house and leaves his garment with her. She screams, she sits down, she holds on the garment, until Potiphar comes home. He says, "See this? Dude tried to rape me. This Hebrew," remember how much they liked Hebrews? "This Hebrew that you brought here tried to rape me." How is that fair? Here's Joseph trying to do the right thing. We used to talk about this in college and be like, "Run, Joseph, run." You know, he runs. He tries to do the right thing. And then his master comes home and says, "All right, Joseph's got to go to prison." He gets really, really mad. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. So if you obey God, everything will go right all the time. Right? If you obey God, you'll just get richer and richer and richer, and you'll get promotion after promotion after promotion, and things will keep getting better and better and better. No. Sometimes when you obey God, you're persecuted for obeying God. Sometimes God's plan for you is so big and so good, it includes piles and piles of pain and terrible disappointments. So as Joseph is in prison, two guys come into prison. One is a baker and one is a cupbearer, and they have dreams like Joseph had dreams. You remember Joseph had dreams back in 37. And this cupbearer and this baker had dreams, and Joseph gives the correct interpretation of their dreams. They don't know that quite yet, but then they realize it's true. As one dies, the baker dies, is hanged, and then the cupbearer gets his position back. And Joseph says to him, just do me this one favor. Well, you should see it. He says, just do me this one favor. Verse 15 of chapter 40. So if you are in Genesis 39 with me, flip your Bible now. I'm skipping ahead to Genesis chapter 40, verse 15. He says, For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here I have done nothing that they should put me into the, what's that next word? Prison in the NIV, pit in the ESV. In the Hebrew, it's the same word as the word used for pit over and over seven times in chapter 37, how his brothers had thrown him into the pit. Joseph's like, "I'm still in the pit. It's been years, and I went from one pit to the next pit, but I'm still in the pit. Please tell Pharaoh, this is not fair. Please plead my case before Pharaoh." And it looks like we're going to have an upswing here. It looks like things might get better. You remember what happens? He's forgotten. So after Joseph is put into prison, things look like they're going to get better because Joseph is put in charge in prison. Then things look like they're going to get better because Joseph gets a chance to get a hearing before Pharaoh. And then things look worse because he's been forgotten. Joseph, God has not forgotten you in the pit. Joseph, for all the world, could think he is forgotten. After all, he heard his brother scheming. If his dad knew he were alive in Egypt, his dad would come down and buy him back. But his dad thinks he's dead. Pharaoh won't have him, or Potiphar won't have him back, because Potiphar can't have the shame of having him back. He had his chance at getting out, but he's been forgotten again. Joseph, I know you're in the pit, but you are not forgotten. Then one day, Pharaoh himself has dreams that he can interpret and nobody else can interpret. And Pharaoh's cupbearer remembers Joseph. And they bring Joseph in, and Joseph interprets the dreams. And Pharaoh says, that is genius. And Joseph tells him, God gave me the interpretation of these dreams, but what you should do is put somebody in charge that's really, really smart. And Pharaoh says, I think he's standing in front of me. You're in charge. And Pharaoh says to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And then watch what happens there in 41. Chapter 41, verse 42. But before I read chapter 41, verse 42, when we land there, back when Joseph was at home, remember he had the I love Joseph the most coat on. Remember that? What happened to that coat? It was ripped off him. It was ripped off him. It was covered in goat's blood. Tell dad Joseph's dead. Then a little while later, Joseph is in Potiphar's house. Joseph is maybe wearing a little nicer coat than he showed up with, because after all, he's second in command now. What happens to that coat? It gets ripped off him. Old boy keeps losing clothes. Old boy won't lose these clothes. He gets to keep this set. 41, verse 42, then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him ride in his chariot, ride in his second chariot. And they called out before him, bow the knee. Thus he sent him over all the land of Egypt. As Joseph's dreams begin to come true. Joseph, as life takes you up and life takes you down, I want you to take courage. Now, here's why. First, I want you to take courage because God is with you. I don't know if you caught it, but in chapter 39, I didn't read all four instances, but four times the refrain keeps coming back, but the Lord was with Joseph. Now, why would it keep telling us the Lord was with Joseph? You know why? Because bad things keep happening to Joseph. And we're really tempted to think that God has forgotten about us, forsaken us when bad things happen to us. After he's sold, it has to remind us, but the Lord was with Joseph. After the bottom falls out of his life and he's falsely accused and lied about and put in prison, we have to be reminded, but the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord is with you. You remember, we pointed out in 40, chapter 15, how Joseph describes his prison as a pit. Well, turn the page to 41, 14, when Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. Remember, Pharaoh has the dreams that he can't interpret, and so they need somebody that can interpret them, and so they call, the cupbearer says, oh yeah, there's this dude in prison that can interpret these dreams, and so they call Joseph. And the Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. How long had Joseph been in the pit? How long had he been in the pit? You know? So down here in verse 46 of chapter 41, Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, he's in the service of, he's in the prison for at least 2 years, as was mentioned. He's forgotten about for at least 2 years. But remember, he was sold and he was 17. If you're sitting across from Joseph, you're saying, Joseph, how you doing? Before he's called back out of the pit, I think Joseph says to you, I've been in the pit for 13 years. Sold at 17. My 30th birthday came and went, and I'm still in the pit. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. And the Corinthian church has serious questions about the Apostle Paul. Because the Apostle Paul really doesn't seem to be a very good apostle. I mean, the Apostle Paul doesn't charge anything for his services. How competent can you be if you work for free? The Apostle Paul doesn't seem to be a very, very good apostle because he doesn't use big fancy words and doesn't come to them with sophisticated speech, which is really hard for me to believe when I read the Apostle Paul. But that's what they thought then. They think he's not a very good apostle because he doesn't whip them and beat them and yell at them and exercise tons of authority over them. But most of all, they're sure he's not a very good apostle because of the way he suffers. And the Apostle Paul writes to them and says, those things are why I am a good apostle. Because I share in the sufferings of Christ. And as Christ's grace is free, my service to you is free. Suffering in the pit is not it doesn't have to mean you're doing it wrong. Joseph was not doing anything wrong. You may be in the pit, and it may be that you haven't done anything wrong. Anchor your soul to this, that God is with you in the pit. He is with you. God is with Joseph in the pit. Joseph also can anchor himself later in life to God has a good plan. If you have your Bibles open, you could turn to Genesis 50 with me. As we think, first, we take courage because God is with us. Second, we take courage because God has a big, big, big plan. So if you're in Genesis 50 with me, you'd be look at verse 20. As for you, he's talking to his brothers. He says, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. This is where Joseph steps back and gets a much bigger perspective than maybe he had when he was walking to Egypt as a slave. Joseph now can look back on his life and see God's hand and see the way God redeemed his brother's evil for good as God brought about a good work in his life that many, many people got to eat that wouldn't have gotten to eat. They got to live that wouldn't have gotten to live. But even as I say, Joseph stepped back and could see a bigger perspective. I have to tell you, I don't think Joseph could see the whole thing. I think the plan was much bigger than even Joseph could have seen. As big as the perspective as Joseph had, as insightful as he was, I don't think he saw the whole thing. If you turn your page to Exodus chapter 1, verse 13, the Egyptians are pretty nervous now about these Israelites because they keep having more and more and more children. And they're getting nervous that maybe their enemies will come and these Hebrews, who they don't like, will revolt and be on their enemy's side and conquer them. So in verse 13, so they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in all kinds of work in the field. And in all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves. I don't think, as big as perspective as Joseph has, I don't think he can see that his descendants will become slaves and that God will redeem their slavery to make them a special, peculiar people, that this people wouldn't assimilate with the Egyptian culture, wouldn't assimilate with a Canaanite culture, but they would be only God's people. And they would come out of Egypt and go out into the Sinai wilderness where there's not a lot of people. And they'd meet God and they'd receive the law. I don't think Joseph can see the law coming. And they would go and retake the land. And eventually one day there would be kings. I don't think Joseph can see the Davidic line coming. And one day that they, after they would rebel, they would go into exile. And the Babylonian exile. And then they'd come out of the exile. And there'd be a period of the post-exilic. And I don't think Joseph can see this whole thing coming. I don't think he can see even Jesus coming. Here's what I'm saying. As much perspective as you and I have, when I look back on something and say, oh, that's how God redeemed that for good, that is just such a small part of how God is redeeming that for good. And for you, when you look back on your life and you think, and you finally are able to step back with some perspective and say, okay, I think that's what God was doing in that. Do you know how big God is? Do you know how big his plan is? You might be able to see a small piece of the plan, like Joseph could see a small piece of the plan, but you can't see the whole thing. His plan is so monstrous and so good. Anchor your soul to this. God is with you. He is with you in the pit. His plan is very, very big. Anchor your soul to the God who is with you and who's working his good plan. And third, here's what we should do, okay? So if we're looking at what we should do, I think it would be helpful to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 12, which is the call of Abraham. All the way back to Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, here it is, so that you will be a blessing. God blesses Joseph with the ability to interpret dreams, with wise rule, so that he can bless and benefit others. So if we're saying, okay, anchor your soul to this, that God is with you. Anchor your soul to this, that God has a big plan, a really big plan, bigger than you can imagine. Even with all your insight and all your wisdom and all your perspective, his plan is so much bigger than you can imagine. And then we'll say, okay, then what should we do with that strength that we have from that? What should we do with the blessing that God pours into our lives? I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. But he's not done. He'll reiterate that again. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. Here it is. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. As that is exactly what happens, as all the families of the earth come to Egypt to get food because of Joseph's dreams. Because Egypt is able to store up grain. As God begins to fulfill this promise, to fulfill the promise to bless all the world through Joseph. What should we do? We should be a blessing. Even to people that hate us and hurt us. Jesus said similar words. He said, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Do you bless those in your circle? If you look at Joseph's life, he's a blessing to his slave master. Are you a blessing to your employer? Is your employer so thankful that you're there? Like, so thankful, like, I'm so glad this person works for me. Are you a blessing? Joseph's brothers who sold him. But I say to you here, love your enemies. Man, I think Joseph's brothers qualify as that. Enemies. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Oh, they certainly hated him. I can tell you that. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. This is what Joseph does. As followers of Jesus, are you called the less? If we went to where you go to school or your home, if we looked on your social media account, would we say, surely, they are a follower of Jesus because they love those who hate them and they bless those who curse them? I think the only way you are able to bless those who curse you and pray for those who abuse you and love those who hate you is if you believe to the bottom of your heart that there is a good God who is in charge, who has a really big plan that you can't see the end of yet. And that you're confident that you never will see the end of until you get to heaven. And maybe then you'll be able to understand it. And you're confident that this God is with you. See, this God who has such big plans, actually planned before he lays the foundation of the earth, to show up himself in the person of Jesus and enter your mess and my mess, the mess we made. And suffer and die for crimes he did not commit. So that all the nations of the world could be blessed through him. Anchor your soul to this God who made all of it, who holds it all together, who came himself in the person of Jesus to die for your sins and mine to rise again on the third day and give us hope that one day you will make it all new. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hope that we have in you. Lord, I pray for those who are up right now that you would make them a blessing to those around them. I pray for those who are down right now, for whom the bottom has fallen out, that you would assure them that you are with them in the pit, that they would know whether they're in prison or in a place of dreadful employment or at a very difficult, hateful, hostile home environment, that you are with them in the pit and give them hope. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.